This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
We're discussing Mechiras Yosef in the context of Mechila and not Mechila, which means at the end it seemed like they got together, the brothers. They were kissing each other, the Pasuk says, and they were crying. And it seemed like Yosef was telling them not to be afraid and not to be bothered. Al ti'atzvu, val yichar beinechem. It seemed like a very happy ending to Mechiras Yosef. Is that the true and proper understanding of the ending? Was that really, really the end of Mechiras Yosef? As they say in English, let bygones be bygones. It was over. That's what would be mashma from the psukim. And that even when the brothers come later and they arouse again suspicion that Yosef will take revenge. No, chas v'shalom, says Yosef, I would never take revenge. Hatach selikim anoichi. It's elikim chashav l'toiva. The Rebbein Shem had, it was all for the good. That it sounded like a very happy ending to a very sad such story of Mechiras Yosef. Is that the true and final ending of the story? Is a machloikis rishayim. We know there was something in the history of Klal Yisrael, which we bring up twice a year, on Tisha B'Av, Yom Kippur, and that is Asur Erugi Malchus. It's clear that they had to go as a kapara for Mechiras Yosef. The question is, but I thought Mechiras Yosef ended. I thought Mechiras Yosef was forgiven. It was all, so to speak, the past, finished, cleaned, forgiven, nimchal, happy-go-lucky, each of the brothers together. So how and why is there something called Asara Harugei Malchus? Excuse me. Says Rabbeinu Bechaya in Parshas Vayichi that it is obvious that it wasn't finished. Mechiras Yosef hangs as a very painful event throughout the Doiris, which needs tikkun, which needs kapara, and that every generation it becomes incumbent to be mechaper. It becomes incumbent to clean up Mechiras Yosef. You'll ask, it seemed like Yosef was very forthcoming and forgiving, and says Rabbeinu Bechaya, if you look clearly, he was never actually Meichel. With all the beautiful words and with all the flowery, you know, great, don't worry, it never said that he was Meichel. Now, it's not clear, Rabbeinu Bechaya, does Rabbeinu Bechaya mean that he never said the words, I'm Meichel you? Which is a big question in Halacha. Maybe when a person asks Mechila, it's not enough that the other person says, don't worry about it. You need to hear specifically, expressingly, yes, Machulach, Machulach, Machulach. You know, a lot of people have Yom Kippur, they go over to their friend and they say three times, Machul. Machul, why? Because could be this Rabbeinu Bechaya. That even though Yosef seemed to make nothing of Mechiras Yosef, and he seemed to give them, so to speak, comfort that they shouldn't worry about it, yet he never said what? Meichel. Maybe that's what Rabbeinu Bechaya means. Or possibly Rabbeinu Bechaya means a little less than that, that it's not even that he didn't specifically say that he was Meichel, but if you look at the words of the psukim and everything that he comforted them with, it wasn't really words that I'm Meichel you. It was words of, don't worry, and Hashem meant well. which could all be interpreted as changing the subject, so to speak. It wasn't addressing directly, are you Meichum? Yes. Yeah, don't worry, it's okay, don't be scared. Everything but I'm Meichum. So it's not that he didn't specifically say it, but that he didn't even allude to it. It was actually everything that he said, it was saying that till Mechila. Don't worry, don't be nervous. Or, as we're going to soon explain, even the words of the Psukim themselves could be translated that he was expressingly telling them, I'm not Mechila. With all the flowery, lovey-dovey language, as they say in English, lovey-dovey language, if you read into it properly and you analyze the words, you'll notice that the opposite is actually the truth. Not only was he not loichel, meaning directly, but actually he was not moichel them. And that's what's laying behind his words, as we soon will bring from other mefarshim. But this is the pshat of the Rabbeinu B'chayim. That the reason for harusar arugei malchus is because Mechiras Yosef was not forgiven. Mechiras Yosef looms in the background as a chet that needs kapara, and throughout the Doris we have to be misakin chet Mechiras Yosef. L'umazel, on the contrary side of the Rabbeinu B'chayim, we have the Sefer Chasidim, Ois Yud Aleph, where the Sefer Chasidim writes clearly, Yosef was Meichel the brothers. Yosef was Meichel the brothers. What's interesting about the Rabbeinu, the Sefer Chasidim, Rabbi Yehuda Chassid, he doesn't explicitly say that he was Meichel them because there's a halacha to be Meichel, but he was Meichel them because it's a milsa de chassidus, slifnim mishur sadin, that he was Meichel them. Rabbi Yehuda Chassid tries to bring out that a person is supposed to go lifnim mishur sadin. A person is supposed to try to overreach to make shalom, where even maybe the halacha doesn't require it, still, it's lifnim mishur sadin to be meichel, and he brings the raya from Yosef and the brothers that Yosef was meichel lifnim mishur sadin. The question is, both on Rabbeinu B'chaya and on Rabbi Yehuda Chassid, maybe, of course, more Rabbeinu B'chaya, maybe a little lesser Rabbi Yehuda Chassid, they did ask forgiveness. It's clear they came and they said, Ana, Sana, Pesha, Checha, V'chatosam, forgive us. In Parashas Vayechi, clearly they beg forgiveness. Balacha, we know that if one asks Mechila, you must be Meichel. This is clear in the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch. So if the Mechila was asked, so how could Rabbeinu B'chaya say he wasn't Meichel? And on Rabbi Yehuda Chassid is still also questionable, because even though he says he was Meichel, but why is it Lifnim Mishur Sadin? Why do you make it into a Chassidus? It's Halacha. That's the Halacha. So possibly we could say, Ono, Sono, Pesha, Achecho, maybe they asked from fear. They were afraid that Yosef will take revenge. Notice that they didn't say Ono, Sono, Pesha, Achecho in Parshas Vayigash. When they meet up, they should have said Ono, Sono, Pesha, Achecho. They don't ask that here in Parshas Vayigash, but rather in Vayichi, after we're given an introduction that they're afraid that Yosef will take revenge. Oh, now you ask Mechila? Now, after the father dies, you ask Mechila. Well, why now? And the answer is, you're afraid. Okay, that's not called asking Mechila. Mechila means you ask because you want to make up with the person. You want the person to become in peace with you, not because you're afraid of something. Maybe that's why Yosef didn't have a halacha that he was mechuyev to be meichel them. You know, there's in the Rambam in Chayvul Mazik, where the Rambam writes clearly, Perikei Halacha Yud, that it's not enough that the person asks mechila, but he has to be shav michetai. Which means he has to show that he feels bad that it happened. At some level, he has to show sincerity that there was a chet. So says the Rambam clearly in Chayvul Mazik Perikei Alachayudi discusses where a person does damage to another person and the person comes to ask Mechila, he should be Meichelim. But he explains the Rambam when Rambam stipulates when he sees that the person was Shav and Niche, okay, maybe Ana Sana Lepesha Checha, it didn't rise to the level of true regret. Maybe they were just afraid. Maybe. And so, Rabbeinu B'chai is right. He wasn't B'chuyiti Meichel then. And according to Rabbi Yehuda Chassid, even more, even if he was Meichel then, it was what? Lifnim Mishuras HaDin. I'd like to discuss, first of all, is there a halacha that you're B'chuyiv to be Meichel if the other person doesn't ask? Maybe I'm mechuyev to be meichel even if the person doesn't ask mechil. Is it only if the person asks mechil? So if you look at the Rambam in two places, where the Rambam discusses in Hilchos Tshuva Pei Beis Halacha Yud, the Rambam there talks about how you should forgive one that comes to ask mechil. And the Rambam doesn't stipulate clearly that it has to be with a bikush of mechila. But the Rambam in Deis, Perik Vav, Halacha Vav, there the Rambam stipulates clearly that it's only if the person comes to ask. Stam to be meichel, not mechuyev to be meichel. So could be, there would lack the din of mechila here because no one asked. They asked in Parshas Vayechi, that wasn't a proper asking. That was only asking from fear. So I would have said is the pshat. The problem is, there's a very interesting medrash. The medrash brings down that Yosef swore to his brothers, she'ein b'libo aleihem, he has no whatsoever any animosity towards them in his heart. L'chaira, that's called mechila. If you have no animosity, if you're saying clearly, I swear, that means it's a very strong statement. It's not just that like we're saying, he really wasn't. He says clearly in the Medrash that he swore. She'ein b'libo aleihem. So then how could the Mefarshim question? Yes, he was Michael. He wasn't Michael 100%. He says clearly, ein b'libo, I have no complaints against you. So I want to explain what happened here, according to the Rishayim. On one hand, we find that it seems like he forgave them. Yet, we still need tikkun, and the thing is not forgiven completely. You know, I told you the Rambam says in Chayvul Mazik that you have to do tshuva. Every time I do a chet, ben olam l'chaveray, is it enough just for the person to forgive me, or I have to talk and do a proper tshuva like we do on Yom Kippur? Is it enough to come and say Yomayichel me, or now I have to come back and say I do Hilchos Tshuva, Charat ala Avar, Kabbalah ala Asid? Maybe I have to do regular tshuva now. Like I told you, the Rambam says that you have to see in the person that he was Shav v'Nichem. Is that only for the person to be Meichel to see that it's sincere? Or they actually need also Veshav V'nichem Hilchot Shuvah? Maybe after the person is Meichel, now you have to sit down and learn Shari Tshuva, how to get Mechila. You have to clap Al Chayt Shechatan Lefanecha. Tell me, on the Al Chayt on Yom Kippur, are some of the Babayt Olam L'Chaveray? Some of them are Babayt Olam L'Chaveray. Yes, a manavshach. If the halach is you have to ask Mechila, so I have to ask Mechila. And if the halach is that once he's Meichel me, I don't have to say Al Chayt, then why am I saying Al Chayt? Manavshach. I have to ask Mechila. Otherwise it doesn't work, the Al Chayt. But once I ask Mechila, the person's Michael, I don't need to say the Al-Khait. It's Masmi, you need to do both. And I want to tell you, there's a beautiful Svasemis. Svasemis points out that there's twice in the context of where Yosef reveals himself to his brothers, the word Va'ata. Twice, the Pasuk uses the word, and now. Va'ata, and now, it's Hashem who brought me L'chalke L'fneichem. Va'ata, now, don't feel bad. It's I became an Adon L'paroi. Twice, it uses the word Va'ata. And what's the emphasis of Va'ata? Right? Now, what's now? I have to keep on saying now. You said, first of all, what, even once is extra, but twice? See the lash of the Pasuk, Rabbi Yisai. Says the Pasuk. Va'ata al teotzvu. Pasuk hey, mem hey, Pasuk hey. Then it says again, Pasuk ches, va'ata le'atem shalach demaisi heina. What's va'ata? Just say, don't feel bit. What's va'ata? Why did you have to stress now? Says the Sfas Emes. It says, va'ata by tshuva. Va'ata v'shafta d'Hashem alikecha. You'll be shod b'chol levavcha v'chol nafshecha. Says the Gemara of Ein Ata l'lashin tshuva. Ata is a lashon of tshuva. Why is Ata a lashon of tshuva? Tshuva means to not live in the past. Tshuva means to live in the present and fix it. You know, one of the mekayris that we have, Basher Usham, that Hashem judges the person the way he is. So the Gemara learns it from Yishmael. Hashem heard Kol Anar Basher. Husham. But if you look at the Rach on the side of that Gemara, he quotes Yerushalmi, Imzach Ato. If you are now clean, by Eov it says, that if Eov did sin, but Eov now, the way he was, Ato. So we darshan, the way you are, Hashem listens, and we don't look at the past. Basher Husham means we don't look at what? The future. Imzach Ato. We look at the present, we don't look at the past. What do we see from here? Ata means that we look at the present. We don't look at the past. What the Yosef was telling the brothers, the Ata al tiyatsu, don't look at the past. The Ata, le'atem shalachtem oisi, don't look at the past. Do tshuva and look at the present. This l'chayr is what the Sfas Emes means, that there was tshuva. According to the pshat, they were saying, it's gewaldig in halacha. Why? Because he was telling them, do tshuva. It's not enough for me to be moichel you. Ve'ato, you got to do tshuva. Did they do tshuva? I don't know.
They did.
I don't know.
Tzidikim.
I don't know. They did do tshuva. How do you know?
Because it says in the Pasuk.
How do you know?
Right.
Well, you argue with Rabbeinu Bechaya. Rabbeinu Bechaya seems to say, listen, you're not going to argue with Rabbeinu Bechaya. If that's what you came here to do today in the shir, then you came to the wrong shir. Rabbeinu Bechaya says clearly that the sin remains. Now, we have to explain how did the sin remain. So don't come and tell me the sin doesn't remain. Please don't do that. I'm just trying to explain, maybe. I mean, if Yosef forgave them, so what happened? And the answer might be that the tshuva part of it was needed. You know, it's interesting. Al tigazu baderech. Yosef tells them, don't fight on the road. What would they fight about? So the Mefarshim say they would fight about Mechiras Yosef, who was at fault. You know, I learned a big lesson in my life, that when you fight to blame the other person who's at fault, you don't really do tshuva. You're supposed to blame yourself. There's a very famous Medrash. The Medrash says that when Adam Arishan ate from the Eitz Hadas, HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to him and told him, did you eat from the Eitz Hadas? He answered, Ha'isha shenasati imadi hi nasli v'oichel, and I ate. Now the word v'oichel is an interesting word, because if you want to say I ate in the past, it's just an achalti. He nastali min ha'etz ve'achalti. It doesn't say ve'achalti I ate. It says ve'oichel. Ve'oichel can have many different meanings. Oichel means in the past. Oichel can also mean I'm eating right now, and oichel can mean I'll eat in the future. So Chazal say achalti ve'oichel. And he told HaKadosh Baruch Hu he's going to do it again. I'll do it again. Ask the Bali Musar of Leib Chasman and others. I mean, listen, you're doing Aveir is one thing, but you can't be completely crazy. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to you and he complains to you, what's the pshat you ate from the Eitz Hadas? You tell Hashem, I'll do it again. Don't forget, he was afraid. Va'ira, he was hiding from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So what's he... He was that brazen that he could tell Hashem, I'll do it again. Say the Rav Leib Chasman, other Bali Musar say this, you saw it. The fact that you blame Isha Shenosati Imodi, you blame her. You didn't take responsibility for it. That means, you'll do it again. It's not that he said the words, I'll do it again. That you got to be completely crazy to say. The point is, since he came, and instead of saying that I take responsibility, I did it. You blame the wife. You blame somebody else for it. In other words, you'll do it again. You'll do it again. When you start blaming, Al Tirguzu Baderech, I believe, is the same thing. Instead of them sitting back down and saying, you know something, it's not your fault, Yehuda. It's not your fault, Shimon. It's my fault. And Shimon should say, it's not your fault, Reuven, it's my fault. What are they fighting about? They should all take responsibility. The Mela could be. They didn't do the proper tshuva. Maybe. I was thinking about this. For first, this is a chidush from this year's chidushim. Yeah? What's the pshat? Why was there no mechila on the mechiras Yosef? So we're soon going to learn, many learn, because he wasn't actually meichel them. It lacked. If you read the words, there was things that were mashma that he was angry at them. But if we take on Kipshuta, it was full of love, and like the Medrash says clearly, Ein b'libi aleichem, that he swore to them, I'm not angry. So then what happened? And the answer might be like the Rambam says in Chayv Lamazik, that you need that the person should be shav and nichem. So if we can learn, it's not only shav and nichem, to show the person that they're sincere in the bechila that they're asking. But actually they need plus shava nichem. You need tshuva also. It's not enough to ask bechila. And that's v'atal tiyotzvu, v'atal yichar b'nechem. Why do tshuva like the Sfasema says? And maybe they didn't do the proper tshuva. Haltigazu baderech, you see that they didn't take responsibility, which is a way of doing tshuva. You know, there's another way how to interpret va'ata. When you tell a person now, don't feel bad. You know what now don't feel bad could mean?
Tomorrow
you should feel bad. Right now, don't worry about it. You know when a person hears right now, don't worry about it, you know what it means? Tomorrow you should worry about it. In Tzrar Amar, from the early Kadmoinim, he interprets the Pasuk actually that way. That if you read properly the Pesukim, Yosef was not only not telling them that he's Moichel them, but the opposite, telling he's not Moichel them. V'ata, don't worry about it. The Bnei Yisachar says, if you look at the words of Al Tiyatzvu, right? V'ata, Al Tiyatzvu, Munach, Revi, we know from the guy in the trup, everything in the trup gives pshat to the pasuk. Beisosel says there's a pshat here too. Munach, Revi, it's kept dormant. It waits till you know where? The fourth galus. When is Asar Arugi Malchus going to take place? In galus Edaim, the fourth galus. So Munach, you're right, don't, Ata now, don't worry about it. When is it going to come out again, says the Bnei Yisachar? Munach, Revi. It stays in the fourth Harusar Aruge Malchus. Eventually, we're going to have to pay for it.
Are you paying?
I want to tell you even more. Could you imagine when a person knows that something is a very touchy subject, right? Something which is a very sensitive subject. And finally, they make peace. For example, you have a husband and a wife, just a muscle. There's something which caused major animosity, major, and almost the whole marriage broke up. Years later, when they come to an anniversary, the marriage survived, they come to anniversary. Imagine getting up and saying, "Oh, you remember 20 years ago we had this big fight? And this big fight, oh, what are you bringing it up for?" Unless what? Unless you really what? Not ready to swallow it. If you're ready to swallow it, you wouldn't bring it up. The first thing, what does Yosef tell the brothers? The first thing, Ani Yosef! Yeah? What about Yosef? The first thing, yeah?
Remember.
Who brings it up? What are you bringing it up for? Leave it alone. So many Mefarshim learned that the reason he was trying to say this is because he wanted to show them that he's really Yosef. Who else would know about it? There was nobody there. The only person that would know about it is Yosef. Right? Sani Yosef, Hashem Echate Moisi Mitzrayim. So therefore he brought it up. He didn't bring it up to dig at them or to show that he's still angry. I once thought to myself, how do you know? Maybe Yosef went and told somebody. And this guy's playing Yosef. My brother once told me a nice story. My brother told me that there was once a guy that saw a tremendous car crash. A tremendous thing, that the car went off the cliff and it rolled over and it burned, and the guy from the car survived it. He tells over the story once, twice, three. After a few times, he figures, why do I have to say over that it happened to somebody else? I mean, who kid? Nobody knows who it is. He starts saying it over like it happened to him. What's the big deal, right? He starts saying it over like it happened to him. You know, a car crash, what's that? I mean, it's a great story. Everybody likes the story. Finally, he meets a guy and he tells the story to the guy. And the guy looks at him and he goes, what are you talking about? It happened to you? It happened to me. I was the guy in the car. What are you saying? So the guy goes, oh, I'm sorry. I forgive me. I thought it happened to me. I made a mistake. I got confused. For a minute, I thought it happened to me. It's very possible that he went and told to another guy. Yeah? And that guy told over Ani Yosef. I'm saying, where is Hashem Echarta, the proof that someone knew about it? And you know what the answer is, Rabbi Issa? I'll tell you, Yevaldik. We know that Chazal say that there was a cherim, not to repeat to the father what happened with Mechiras Yosef. The Shvatim knew that Yosef would never talk about it. Also, whoever Yosef was, but one thing, a side is a side, a secret is a secret, Lashon Hara is Lashon Hara, he wouldn't repeat it. And that nobody would know about it unless it was Yosef. Otherwise, what's the pshat? Ha! You know that it's Yosef because who else would know about it? What do you mean? Maybe Yosef talked about it. Maybe Yosef went to therapy for many years after that. And he spoke to 50 different counselors and they spoke to their friends. I mean, how do you know? And the answer is, that's the greatness of Yosef. That only Yosef would have known about it. And they knew this. And Yosef knew that they knew this. And therefore, when he tells them, Ani Yosef Hashem Echartem, you know it's got to be me because nobody else would know about it. Shara Mashki never told that he was sold. I didn't say Mechir from the brothers.
He
didn't say they sold me. Fakert, you see, beautiful. Gunu Ganati Beis Ivrim. The opposite, I was robbed. Fakert, he was so nizer in Lashon Hara. Fakert. It's a raya to what I'm saying. It was one of my rayas that I had. You see clearly, Guno Ganafti mi Beis Ivrim, you see how careful he was not to say McCarthy, I was sold, because then he would say, who, by what, by, no, I was kidnapped, Guno Ganafti. The opposite. Pshat, Pshat, Mechiras Yosef, only Yosef would know. You hear Rabbi Isai? This is the level of Tzidkis of Yosef, and the Meshwatim knew this. And Yosef knew that the Shvatim knew this. And don't forget, this is in backlash of what they were choshing him, that he speak the Basim Ra'al Aviyam. And that was because it was L'Shem Shemayim. That was to bring it to the Father. But stop to say Lashon Hara, stop to be Megalasoy, stop to say I was sold, that they wouldn't have done. He used to talk Lashon Hara about them. That was the whole story. Yeah, but that was obviously for a reason. That was to bring it to the Father. So even if they were upset at him about the Lashon Hara, but they knew it had a reason, but this was for no reason. And even though it would have a cheshbon to speak about it, to get it off your chest, so to speak. I mean, a person who sold, he had no right to talk about it. Yeah, he would be a tzaddik and he wouldn't talk about it. He wouldn't say a word about it. That's who Yosef was. But Al Kulpanim, many Mefarshim say that Fakert, the fact that he spoke about Ani Yosef Shemachartim Oisi is a raya, that he still was thinking about it. And he had it on his chest, so to speak, and he wasn't Meichel them. The Kliyakar says something very interesting. Yoka says, "Ani Yosef, Hashem mechartem Moisi Mitzrayim." Who cares where he sold him to? And as a matter of fact, they didn't even sell him to Mitzrayim, which is a different question I have. But who cares where they sold him? Ani Yosef, Hashem mechartem Moisi. Why is Mitzrayim a part of the conversation? Says the Kliyakar, he was complaining to them. If you had to sell me already, you had to sell me to Mitzrayim. From all the places in the world that you wanted to get rid of me to, you got to send me to, you know, Mitzrayim, Mishtufi, Zima. It's like taking a good Yiddish kid and putting him in the worst places of Znus. That was the time. Ani Yosef, Hashem Mechart Moisi. He wasn't even complaining on the Mechira as much as Mechart Moisi, Mitzrayim. How did you sell me to Mitzrayim? From all places, Mitzrayim. So you see that he was what? On one hand saying things which seemed to be that he was Meichel, but if you dug into the words, it was Tarti Mashma. He was actually complaining to them. He was actually complaining to them. Lumaseh, there's a beautiful Sfasemis on the other side of the spectrum, as they say. You know, there's an extra word again in the Pasuk. Ani Yosef. What's the next word? Asher. Should say Ani Yosef she mechartem. What's Asher mechartem?
Remember,
what's Asher? That you. It's extra in Digduk. It should be Ani Yosef she mechartem. Says the Sfasemis, we find the word Asher have a meaning for itself. The Gemara says on the pasuk that the Rabbi Shem says the luchais Asher shibarto, that you broke. Says the Gemara, why does it say Asher that you broke? It means Ashrei Sheshibarta, Ashrech, thank you. Yashikoyach, thank you for Sheshibarta that you broke it. The word Asher means Ashrei, thank you. Says this Fasemis, this is what Yosef was saying. Ani Yosef, Asher, Mechartem, Shkoichle Yisolmi. I'm happy, thank you. The best thing you could have ever done for me was that you sold me. You know why? Because it was all Menashemayim, it was all L'toiva, great.
Kilamichya.
Asher. It's all. Asher means thank you, Ashre, Yashikoyach. Just like Hashem tells by the. Yeah, it's beautiful, huh? Svasemes, Asher Shibarta. So we have over here a dual conversation. On one hand, it's Mashma, thank you for selling me. On the other hand, he's angry. Stira, contradictory. The Rechaim says that there's another word in the pasuk which is extra. Ani Yosef. What's the next word? Achichem. Just say Ani Yosef Hashem Echartem. Why Achichem? They know who it is. And the answer says the Rechaim that even when you sold me, I still had brotherly feelings for you. I had no anger whatsoever. You sold me, and while you were selling me, Hashem Echartem, while you were selling me, Achichem, I still felt I'm your brother. I had no problem with it. I had no hatred, no anger, no sinner. You hear? As a matter of fact, the Lashon of the Archaim is so unique. He says he was telling the brothers, Ki'ilo Hayadav, or nothing happened. There was no Mechiras Yosef. What? What? Nothing happened. There's no Mechiras. It's fine. Everything was wonderful. There's a beautiful Maral. The Maral explains, what does Yankiv Avinu receive from Yosef to carry him? How many ox? What does it say over there? I'm sorry, how many donkeys?
Ten.
Ten chamayrim. And it says, La'aviv shalach kazois. Pasuk says, like this. I mean, what's the emphasis? He sent him like this. I mean, he sent him whatever he sent him. Kazois means that it was like a unique, this package he sent him. What was the package? 10 donkeys. Ask the Maral, why 10 donkeys? What's the significance? La'aviv shalach kazois. Says the Maral, Moiridik. He was being miramis to his father. Don't look at the brothers who sold me that they did anything. You take a chamor and you put on a chamor a heavy load. It goes. Kami, can we blame the chamor for anything? It has nothing to do with the chamor. Chamor didn't put the stuff on his back. Whatever you put on the chamor's back, that's what he does. The brothers, when they sold me, we're like chamoyrim, and we don't mean in a bad way, but that the Eibishter did it. It has nothing to do with it. The balabas is behind it, not the chamar. Ula'aviv shalach kazois, he sent him this package of 10. And why 10? How many people were in Mechiras Yosef? 9 of the Eibishter, huh? 10. 10 were involved, so to speak. Don't blame the 10. They're no different than a chamar that carries the load. They were considered shlichim of the Eibishter. It's exactly what the Eibishter told them to do. If you look at the Malbim goes as far as to say they were mishlulei bechira. The brothers had no choice. They didn't make a decision to sell them. It was done in a way as if they had no choice because the Eibishter took away their bechira. You hear a Malbim? Rabbi Weiss, you hear an unbelievable Malbim? They were mishlulei bechira. That's the question. Why you chayif? So why you chayif? What happened? On one hand, we're saying mechila, and then there was no bechira. So what happened? And the Teretz Raboisai could be as follows. Maybe. Mm-hmm. Few things. Mm-hmm. First thing I want to bring out is, we find that a person could be fully right, and almost mishlulei bechira, he had no choice to do something, yet his actions have consequence that they need tikkun. Mordechai stole, so to speak, I'm sorry, not Mordechai, excuse me, Yaakov Avinu stole the brachas from Esav. Let's not say stole, he tricked to get the brachas. Now, who was the one who told him to do it? His mother. Where did his mother get it from to do it? It's Beibishter, Shema B'Koyli. It was Baruch HaKoydish. So did Yaakov do anything wrong by taking the brachas? Nothing. Beibishter told him to do it. Yet years and years later, the Gemara tells us, the Pasuk says that Mordechai and Haman, in the times of Mordechai and Haman, Mordechai went out, Vayetze, he went out, Vayizak, Z'aka, Gedoilo, Mara, which is the same Lashon that Esav used when he found out that he lost the bracha. Says the Gemara, because Yaakov caused Esav to Vayizak, Z'aka, Gedoilo, Mara, years later we had to pay it back. Yeah, but he did the right thing, Mordechai. Yaakov. Yaakov did the right thing. He did what Hashem told him to do. And the answer is, we spoke about it many times in the past, that even if you're 100% right, and it's not a chet, but it needs tikkun. Consequence. L'maisa, consequence. It caused Ace of Tzar. So the Tsar needed tikkun years later. Mechiras Yosef needed tikkun. Now the truth is, maybe that's why the Asara Ruge Malchus didn't know if they should accept. Why did they say, of course it's Min HaShemayim, you come and tell me it's about the Badnalayim because of the shoes that we sold the brother. You hear? If it's Badnalayim because of the shoes that we sold the brother, accept it. And the answer is they knew there was a mechila, so they didn't understand why asarugim malchus. So the Rebbeinu Shem told him it's a cheshbon. What is the cheshbon? Tikkun. The Rebbeinu Shem, the way he runs the world, things have to fix. Generations later, fix things that were done generations before. That's what he means. We'll start the world all over again. And then you'll understand. It says the Malachim came and they said, we don't understand. How could you do this to these great tzaddikim? So Rabbi Yishlam says, if I hear one more, I'll turn the world upside down. Frek the Goyin, that's an answer. What kind of answer is that? Be quiet or I'll turn the world upside down. Says the girl, he did give them an answer. Hashem was saying that if you want to understand my actions, there's no way to understand it unless you understand the whole world from the beginning to the end. I'll start over again. You know what? We'll start the world over again. And you'll follow it step by step. And I'll show you why A leads to point B and B leads to point C. And this event leads to this and this event connects to this event. And then you'll understand. Yeah, but I never understood this guy. Just say it after Mechiras Yosef. What do you mean? I said, what was he telling them? I don't understand what he's telling them. Just say that there was a Mechiras Yosef, and Mechiras Yosef needs to be paid for. And these people are being Mechapra on Mechiras Yosef. What do you have to talk about the world turning it upside down, starting over again, connecting events? And the Teretz is, in the Mechira, could be there was Kapara. Because he was Michael. Yosef was Michael. But in Tikkun, the Tikkunim that came, that's more complicated. That's not one event that causes a result. Tikkunim is based on many different things. It comes to, it's the Shlemus of the Bria. It's much deeper than just, I do an Aveira and I need a Kapara. It's Tikkunim. So that's what he was saying. Come, we'll start the world all over again. And you'll understand the tikkunim in Asara Rugimal. And then they accept it. Point being, that it's possible in the actual chet, you're right, there was mechila. And mechila was good enough. But in tikkun, for there could be such a thing that a brother was so bad nalayim, that needs tikkun. That needs tikkun, that's the Rabbanish. That's what he was trying to say. To explain the tikkun is complicated. To explain the tikkunim needs to have all the information. You need all the information in front of you to understand. But this is the pshat in Mechiras Yosef. Another pshat I was thinking maybe. You notice he says, I am Yosef that you sold me to Mitzrayim. So it could be he was Meichel them for the Mitzrayim part. Everything from Mitzrayim and on. I'm Yosef, you sold me to Mitzrayim. Good. Mitzrayim was had a point. But what about Ani Yosef Shemachartim Oisim LeMidyanim, Midyanim to Yishmaelim, that you sold me for the shoes, that you sold me even though I was trying to be your brother and you came and you muroid with me when I was a little boy, when I was 17. Maybe that he wasn't Michael for. Huh? Ani Yosef, Hashem Echartim Moisi Mitzrayim. I'm Moichel you, because the truth is they never sold him to Mitzrayim. They sold him to the Yishmaelim. They sold him to the Midyanim. So why doesn't he come and say, Ani Yosef, Hashem Echartim Moisi? And the answer is, on the Mechira part, and all that went into the Mechira, I begged you, you took me as a little boy, that I'm not Moichel for me. What you did in my father's home to me, that I'm not meichel you for. I'm only meichel you on the part, the hezek that came to me from the fact that I was Mitzrayim, because that I know is from Hashem. That part I understand is lamichya of leparoi. That part of it I hear. But the beginning, what you arrived with me, and that's what they said about the lion, the fact of how you sold me. The how you sold me is the Hasara Ruki Malchus. Not the Hashem Echartim Oisil Mitzrayim, maybe. With this, I think we could go one step further. Pshat. If you notice, he tells the brothers, V'ata Alti Otzvu. Va'al yichar beinechem. Don't be angry. Angry about what? Doesn't say. It's not clear in the pasuk. What did he tell him not to be angry about? So al tiatz, we understand. Don't be upset about the mechira. But what's al yichar? So some told me that they learned the pshat al yichar amongst each other. Don't be angry at each other. But it's not mashma. The word beinechem is mashma that Yosef is saying something about himself. Don't be angry in your eyes about me something. It has nothing to do with between yourselves. It should have said, Al-Yichar Beinechem. Don't fight between, don't be angry between yourselves. I would say pshats like this, Rabbi Yosef. Yosef made it sound so much like the Mechiru was just, to the point that he was turning the tables. You know something? I owe you Yashikayach, like the Sfasem says, Asher, thank you for selling me. So then why am I giving you such sorrow when you came? Why did I lock you up? Why did I cause you so much trouble? Al Yichar Be'inechem, to the point that he made it sound like he's asking them a chila. Don't be angry at me the way I treated you when you came to Mitzrayim. Instead of Yosef coming, and this is the Das Torah, Rabbi Ruchim speaks out, that not only he doesn't show them that he's angry, he makes it sound fakert. You did nothing. You the right one and I'm the wrong one. And I'm adding to this, that's Shabbat Yichar Beinechem, so don't be angry the way I treated you. If you looked at Yosef was wronged, so it's nothing compared what they did to what he did to them. He didn't do anything to them. Right? He locked them up, he treated them roughly a little bit. But once you come and tell the person, you know something, Asher Koyach, thank you for selling me. Thank you, Vizalim, you did nothing wrong. So why am I treating you like this? He said, please don't be angry. That's how far he showed them that they're right and he's wrong. My Zaidi was a very big Baal Shalom. Everybody knows he was very, very Shalom. You weren't able to fight with him, Rabbi. Rabbi Gavriel Ginsburg, Zeichet Tzadik Levrach, he was a neighbor of mine. He later became a Rosh Hashiva in Ner Yisrael, Toronto. So I called him up and I asked him, tell me about my grandfather's stories. You were our neighbor. You were a manal of a yeshiva Chafetz Chaim, a Talmud Chacham. So he told me about your Zay, you weren't able to fight with him. It wasn't possible. You couldn't have a machloikus with him. Why? Even if you wronged him, he would make it sound like he wronged you, and therefore the machloikus was over. You couldn't fight with a person like that. He made it always sound right away that it was his fault. Whatever happened was his fault. And I want to add that beautiful story I heard my father told me. There was once a person in our shul, the Baal Tefillah. He was the Gabbai also. He was very close to my grandfather. But in the beginning years, before he became the Gabbai and Baal Tefillah in our shul, he wasn't close to my grandfather. He had a sichsel. He had a story with my grandfather. And he was very disrespectful. He was very disrespectful. He was sitting shiva for a brother of his. So the morning that he began to sit shiva, my grandfather tells my father that we have to go be Menachem Avil, this person. My father said, him? You can't be serious. You're not going to go to him. I mean, if anybody in life ever hurt you, it was him. He embarrassed you in public. It was a tremendous... So my Zayda said that there's a time and a place when a person should keep a score of who did what to who. Yidin, don't keep score when it comes to when Avelis. Another person sitting shiva, it's not the time and the place to say, oh, you remember what he did to me, yeah? It's a time where people should come and help others and be Menachem Avil others. That's what it is. And he went. This person was so surprised that my grandfather was able to come to Menachem Avil him after what happened, that he became such a devoted friend to my Zayde, the Gabbai and the Baal Tefillah in the shul, and he became a chassid, a real chassid of the Zayde. Mamish, at his levaya, his son got up and said that my father used to tell me all the time that if Rav Wolkin, the Zayde, my grandfather, didn't bring Mashiach, he doesn't know who could. You see how a person turn the tables. Instead of coming and saying, look what you did to me, Look what you did to me. No. Parkert, he came as if nothing happened. Yosef had this tremendous koyach that he showed the brothers. You didn't do anything, like the Archaim says. Like Nasa Shum Dover, nothing happened. To the point that he turns around and he asks the Mechila, like we know by Leah and Rachel. What happened by Leah and Rachel? Amat kachti chesishi, you took my husband. That's how Leah talks to Rachel. Who took whose husband? Leah, Rachel took your husband? The opposite. You, Leah, took Rachel's husband. Say the Rashaynim that he made it so much, Rachel made it so much that it was her, Leah's husband, that Leah felt like she could turn around to Rachel and say, listen, it's my husband, what are you doing? How can you take my husband? The tzidkus of Rachel was so much, you hear, that he made Leah feel that Yaakov was her husband to the point that she could turn around and say, whoa, how can you take my husband? The same thing here too. Yosef made them feel so much in the right about Mechiras Yosef that nothing happened, that he could even ask them, Mechila, please be Meichel me the way I treated you. Please be Meichel me. I should be Meichel you? What? The Avish, the Shvatim should be Meichel Yosef? The opposite, Yosef, Meichel, the Shvatim, what are you talking about? And the answer is, that was the greatness of the Mavral Amidus of Yosef, to the point, that he showed them that they were right and he was wrong, that he's asking them, I think we could say a Meirik Pshat according to this. You notice that he shows the brothers that he's a Mohel, that he has a Bris Milah. The question is, everybody in Mitzrayim had a Bris Milah. Yosef made sure that if you wanted to get to eat, you needed a Bris Milah. So what was the raya, what was the proof that Yosef was Yehudi, a Yid, a brother, from the fact that he had Bris Milah? So I wanted to say pshats like this. You hear? Be'emes, there's a very famous question. How could you come and make Bris Milah to the Mitzrayim? The halach is, Ramah brings down in the Yerideya, you're not allowed to give a bris to a guy. There's a whole question if you want to practice on Goyish babies, bris, when they die, in order to know how to do Bris Milah for a Jewish child. You're not supposed to give a bris to a child. So how did Yosef go and give a bris to Goyim, Mitzrayim, for food? You're not allowed to give a bris to a guy. So the Shach answers two terutz. One terutz is, let me state, Rishonim and Achrayim, that if it's Lutzayrach Yisrael, if it's for the need of Klal Yisrael, you're allowed to do it. So for example, if I want to practice on a Goyish to be able to do a bris on a Jew, you're allowed to do it. Here too, there was Lutzayrach. Why was it Lutzayrach? Why did Yosef come up with the whole idea to make a bris milah? Why? The answer is, because he knew that Klal Yisrael is going to have to come down. It's going to be so bizarre that the fact that I have a milah, they're not going to want to keep milah in Mitzrayim. It would be such a, like, what? You have a, what are you, crazy? Like this, he made it that it's a normal thing to make a bris. He was preparing it, say the Mefarshim, for the generations later that they could do a bris. If you look at the Balaturim says, Eilish Shmoyz B'nai Yisrael Abayim Mitzrayimah, the Tchilas Tevis and the Ra and the Seifei Tevis, all milah. All the words mila. Eila, Shmoyz, B'nai, Yisrael is mila. Mila, 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 mila. Pshat. They came that they could do mila. This was prepared from Yosef. That Yosef made it a normal thing of bris mila. Okay. So, A, we could come and say that that's already the pshat, what he was showing them. He was telling them, look, I'm Yosef. I prepared for you, just like I prepared for you the food. Kila Michyos Lachani Hashem Lifneichem. Hashem brought me here to prepare that you should have food. Hashem brought me here to prepare that a Mitzrayim Bris Milah, that you should be able to make a Bris Milah. It's all the plan, the master plan of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Good? That he was telling them that, again, don't feel bad, it was from the Amish. Another pshat we could say, based on the second pshat, I'll give a guy bris milah. He gave them bris milah, but he didn't give them Priya. The actual cutting he did for them. That he was Mechayim them, but he wasn't Mechayim them Priya. That's only for Klal Yisrael. What does Yosef show them? Yosef shows them that he's a mogul, the Melosh of the Medrash, Kochem, like you. It's not enough to show that he had a bris mila, because all the Mitzrayim had it. Priya. I'm a mogul, Kochem, like you, that I have Priya, so I must be Yid. Well, maybe we could say one step further. You know what the difference between bris and Priya? The Shlosh says, bris is to take away the bad. Priya is to uncover the good midas. Goyim can have something called chituch, but they don't have priya that it uncovers the tremendous kedusha and midas toivis that a yid has. But this, I think we can explain what happened over here. He's showing them that he has a bris. What kind of a bris? Priya. Priya means to uncover the good. There's a Rambam in Hilchas Deis where the Rambam writes that leisika v'leisita, you're not allowed to take the kama. Only goyim take the kama. Says the Rambam, because goyim have areli alev. They have arelus. They're arla. They're considered people who have arla. So they fight to the end. They fight to the end. Who is a person who's mevater and moichel? Only Klal Yisrael, Zera Yisrael, libam hanachin, because they have a good heart. Arelus means to fight and not give in and to take the kama. Not having arla salev means that you don't fight and you don't take the kama. But he was showing them, Yosef, you're scared that I'm going to take the kama. You're scared that I'm not gonna make shalom, peace with you. I won't be meichel you. Only a guy does that. But a yid that has priya, that uncovers the good midas toivus of the yid, priya is the midas toivus, that is the proof that I'm going to be meichel you. It says that he were afraid. That's what the Medrash says. Nasai guachar. They started moving backwards. They were afraid Yosef's not meichel them. Yosef will take the kama. Yosef shows him that he has a bris mila. And bris mila, like the Rambam says in Chazdeyis, is a sign that he's a meichel and a mevater. Beautiful vart, no? Classic. Me. And I want to tell you a little bit more. If you look at the Sifse Chacham, listen, I'm not telling you your Torah, right? Otherwise, I'd come to Yoshir. I'll tell you over Meir Dikazach. You look at the Sifse Chachamim. I noticed it last night. He says something interesting. Bris is a siman of Achva B'Yisrael. That's what he says. It's interesting, Lashana. He throws it in, that the Bris is a siman of Achva B'Yisrael. I think this is what he means. He means this Rambam. That the Rambam is saying that Arla Salev, which of course we know the bris takes care of Arla Salev. That's the whole idea of the bris. The Beis Halevi, that the bris itself on the outside is what really cleans up on the inside. So the inyan of bris, which the Rambam says means that you fight till the end. He says a guy fights to the end. You know, goyim never back down from a fight. They'll kill each other until they're bleeding. Over what? Over a cup of coffee. In a bar. You sat my chair. They'll kill each other till bleeding. That's goy. That's areli alev, says the Rambam. Ayid. It's Meichel, Mevata. The Mechilta, Pashas, Mishal, says clearly that Leisika v'Leisita, who was the first person to not be over Leisika v'Leisita, says the Mechilta, Pashas, Mishal, who was the first person to not take the Kama? No? Yes. Yeah, he said, it's Mefurshim Mechilta. The Rambam says clearly that has to do with Arelus Halev. Only Areli Halev take the Kama. Here Yosef is saying, I'm a mahu kachem, I'm not going to take the kama. That's what he was showing them. And with this I can go one step further. If you notice, it says, v'atal ti'atzu, it's from Hashem. The Eibishter said, the Eibishter did it. It was all for the good. The Rambam, I'm sorry, the Chinuch in Mitzvah Reish Mamalev says, why shouldn't you take the kama? Mishrashi ha-mitzvah, a person should think to himself, it's all from the Eibishter. Even if that guy did it. The Eibishter is behind him to do it. And he brings a raya from David HaMelech. The David HaMelech says, Hanachloi, Hashem Amalei Lekalu. Shimon ben Gera curses David HaMelech. David HaMelech says, leave him alone. Hashem said to do it. So you see that a person should say it's all from Hashem. That's all right, the chinuch, I believe. Since we're learning that here Yosef is trying to tell the brothers he's not going to take the karma, so what's he saying? It's all from the Eibushter, like the chinuch wants. That you should say that the Eibushter is behind it all. Now I understand what it means. Va'ata, don't look bad at the whole story. Why? Because look, Hashem put me la'adain, la'parai. Who cares? That's so important. Bishlaim Hashem sent, right, l'michya l'fneichem. That I hear. But what's the second part? You see? Here. Ha'ayin avirlech lechalan v'panav. Here. Kizeh shosai marav, v'yishalchein elkim v'neichem. The second va'ata. Who cares? I mean, what are you trying to bring out? Da Hashem. So I always understood he means the dream. He's trying to tell them it was a dream that I should be the melech. So you see, I'm in Mitzrayim that I'm the melech. Or could be. You know, what's the pshat hanachle ki Hashem amalei lekalu? You could always say that. Every guy, a person does an aveira, says Hashem told me to do it. You know, there was a guy who lived in Queens. He was a Queens guy. Berkowitz. Jewish guy. Oh, yeah. You know who Berkowitz? Son of Sam! Sugarna. He went around killing people. You know what his excuse was? God told him to do it. So everything is like that. Hashem told Shimon. Hashem came to Shimon Megeri, told him to do it. So we once said pshat years ago. When something is very strange, the more strange it is, the more it's a simmons from Shemayim. Why would Shimon ben Gera curse David HaMelech when there's no army backing Shimi, no protection, out of nowhere, in front of David HaMelech's army? He's got to be crazy. And that's what the Megayev says to him. The guy's dead man, he's crazy. What's wrong with him? Because of that, says David, it's so obvious, that it's so bizarre that it had to be from the Eibishter. That's maybe what he's saying over here to Yosef. Look what happened. I ended up in Mitzrayim, and I became, you hear? I became a, here, Kielakim, I said, Meini la'av la'parai, la'ad la'chol besai, umay, how much more strange could you get than that? So it's from the Eibishter. And if it's from the Eibishter, Leisika v'Leisitar. How can I take Nekama, like the Chinuch says? The more strange it is, the more it's a simen. It's from Hashemayim. This is what he's telling them. I don't want to take Nekama. With this we can come and say, I'm married to Kipshak. Are you ready? Here we go. You notice that before, you hear? Before, you know what, let's say one other thing before we get to this before. Ready? With this, I think we can explain two things. When it talks about Nekama, in Parshas Kedoshim, it says, Leisikaim v'leisitair, does it say Achicha? What does it say? B'nei Amecha. And the Mepharshim right away zoom in and say, why doesn't it say Achicha? It should say Achicha. I believe the pshat is very simple. Leisika v'leisitar, I tell you, has to do with the bris milah. The bris milah is a sign of achva b'Yisrael, which means there's an inyan of leisika v'leisitar for two reasons. One reason is on a personal level, bein olam l'chaveri. But then on another level, klal Yisrael. B'nei amecha. It has to do with the fact that klal Yisrael doesn't take the common one from the other. It has to do with Zerah Yisrael. It has to do with Yidin versus Goyim. A Goy takes the common. A Yid doesn't take the common. Leisitar b'nei. It's not about Achicha. Achicha. Leisitar. Maybe in Achicha. Maybe there's Halacha. Okay. So he's my brother. I'm allowed to bring up to him the fact that he did something bad to me. But b'nei Amecha. It's a different Yisoid. It has to do with the fact that Klal Yisrael has to live b'shalom. And Yosef was put to the test here now. Yosef is being put to the test. Leisika v'leisita b'nei amecha, will he keep the shalom? Will he be meichel or he will take nekama? B'nei amecha, the shvatim, and therefore Yosef passed the test, so to speak. He knew that he had to do this. With this, I can understand what the Rabbi Yehuda Chassid means, that he went lefnei mishur sadin. Because the Mesillas Yesharim says, what's the end of Leisikim v'leisitar b'nei amecha? You know what the next part of the pasuk is? V'yahavta re'echa kamaycha. That's how the pasuk continues. So pasuk, it's two different things. Leisikim v'leisitar b'nei amecha. And v'yahavta re'echa kamaycha. One has nothing to do with the other. The Mesillas Yesharim in Perik Yud Aleph talks about the midah of nekius. And there he says, you know how far Leisikim v'leisitar? It's not only that a person shouldn't tell the person, I'm not doing you the favor, or I am doing you, but don't forget what you did. But it has to go as far as v'yahavta l're'echa kamaycha. That you consider as if it never even happened. You hear? It's a chiddush of the Mesillas Yesharim learning up the pasuk. That not only l'seika v'l'seitar, but l'seika v'l'seitar to the point v'yahavta l're'echa kamaycha. That's what Yehuda Chassid is saying, that Yosef was Mekayim with the brothers. It's not only that he was Meichel them, and he didn't take the Nekama. He went the extra step in the Pasuk, and that was Lefnei Mishur Hadin. That to make it as if nothing ever happened, like I don't even know of anything, that's way above and beyond. With this, I think we can explain the Kriya Shema that Yosef, that Yaakov reads when he sees. Yaakov sees him, he reads Kriya Shema. Yosef's not reading Kriya Shema. So they all ask the question, why is Yosef not, if it's the time to read Kriya Shema, Yosef also should read Kriya Shema. So Reb Chaim Brisker, famous yeshiva, Sheteret, Halacha, he was traveling and he wasn't. He had all day to say Kriya Shema. He was traveling, he didn't want to read Kriya Shema while he was traveling. The minute he came to Mitzrayim, he was able to read Kriya Shema. So Yaakov read Kriya Shema, and Yosef already finished before he died with the early minyan. So says Reb Chaim. Maral says a little differently. Maral says that he wanted to unite the love of his son together with the love of the Eibishter. At that given moment that he saw his son for the first time in 22 years, there was tremendous love. So he wanted to take that love and say, it's for you, Rabbi Yisrael, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echa. I would like to introduce a third pshat. You ready? I would like to say pshat. You hear that, Rabbi? Listen good. You know, what is Shema Yisrael? Hashem is Midas HaRachamim, Elokeinu is Midas HaDin. We learn from here, Hashem, Elokeinu is Hashem Echad, it's all one. You know when Yaakov noticed that? When he sees Yosef. All the Yisurim, all the Midas HaDin, Shema Yisrael, Hashem, Elokeinu, there's Hashem, there's Hashem, it's all one. Because you see, from all the Midas Adin, everything I suffered, look how it ended up. So Yaakov, at this given moment, when he sees Yosef, understands that it's all Hashem Echad. If you notice in Elena, what do we say? Right? No, Hashem Echad, Shema Echad, with that we know, but also it says, Ki Hashem Elikim. No, okay. Elokim, I'm getting tired. No, get take out Elenu. No. Elokim, who has the lashon over there? Yeah, it says like this here. Here. This is what I want. So Chayr, it should be the other way. Kielakim hu Hashem. Why is it Hashem hu Elokim? Should be the other way around. So I was thinking one of two pshatim. Either it's read that way. Maybe that's what it means. Hashem, who is the Elokim that we saw? Doesn't mean Hashem that we see who Elokim. When Mashiach comes, it's not that we'll see that Hashem was actually Elokim. Maybe the other way around. Maybe the pshat is Hashem will see who that we thought was Elikim. It's actually Hashem. Maybe. Or maybe the pshat is Hagufa. When Mashiach comes, everything will become clear. Din will be Rachmim, Rachmim. Sometimes even the good things was actually in Din. It had to do with Din, maybe to give reward for now, and later on it was to take away. We're going to start to understand Rachmim and Din in different contexts. Maybe that's the pshat. The point being, Yosef learned this lesson. You know when Yosef learned this lesson? In this pasuk. V'atav lo yatem sholachtem oisiheni kiho elokim. Why does he use elokim? I thought it's a good thing. Sam Sofer asked this kasha. It should have said Hashem. Why does he keep on talking about elokim? Elokim chashav l'toiva. Why elokim chashav l'toiva? Just say, Hashem, may the sarachamim. So the Sam Sofer says a pshat, which it's a little bit late, so maybe we'll just skip that pshat, the Sam Sofer, we'll get straight to this pshat that we want to say according to what we're learning, and that is Elikim, the Midas Hadin that we thought was Chashav L'Toiva. Yosef starting to recognize throughout the years there was a lot of Midas Hadin, but actually it was L'Toiv. So he actually saw all this. That's pshat. V'ato le'atem shalakim Elikim. The Midas Hadin was actually Rachamim. That's what he's trying to say. B'meila, Yaakov Avinu, when he sees Yosef for the first time, he comes and says, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. And that's why he read Kriya Shema. Yosef saw it already. Yosef throughout the years was seeing him in Mitzrayim, the Chesed of the Eibishter. But Yaakov never saw it till this moment. So this moment he says, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Just to conclude, Rabbi Yisai, one more nekuda, I think it's important, and maybe the Olam will have an appreciation. We all know that Yosef was Olay L'Yayim Adin, Olay L'Yayim Atechach. He brought out a big Musar Shmus. When he said, Ha'oy Yosef, Ha'oy Ravichai, Ani Yosef, Olay L'Yayim Atechach. Why? Because it says, Ki Nefalu Mipanav. They were completely taken back from in front of him. Rashi says, from the Tanchum Ne'abusha, because they were embarrassed. Medrash says, "Oh, when Mashiach comes, oh, terrible!" Right? Okay. They all ask, "Where's the Musar?" So we all know the Chafetz Chaim, the famous Chafetz Chaim, and the Hashem. That Hashem will also come and announce Ani Hashem, and everything will become clear, and all the folly and stupidity that we were busy with in this world will become nonsense, and we'll be embarrassed, and it'll be teichach. Okay. There's a chidah that learns that the pshat in the Musar was, Ani Yosef. Don't you see it on the face? I look exactly like my father. Exactly. Imagine a guy walks in, looks exactly like your father. Good, with a little more wider hair. But and that's what he means, Oida Vichai. You know, I don't believe my father's alive. Because he'd be alive, you would have recognized me. There's no pictures. See, today we have pictures and videos and movies. And so even if the father died 500 years ago, you would still recognize what he looks like. But those days there was no pictures, so you must have forgotten how he looks like, because you would have recognized him the minute you saw me, especially you came looking for me. You came looking. Bali Musar say that what's taka pshat? Because the geis, when you don't want to believe something, it can be right in front of you, you won't believe it, right? They didn't want to believe that Yosef was the Melech. They wanted to see him as an Eved. So this is the Musar. Ani Yosef, ha'oid avichai, and that's kind of how me pun of maybe from the face. She said, Nivhalu milfanov. What's Nivhalu mipanov? Because they saw his face. Whoa, you're right. His mom looks exactly like Yaakov. How come we didn't catch it? And the Torah says, Negias, Eilei Liyamatin, Eilei Liyamatecha. Okay. I want to say another pshat, Rabbi Yisai. You notice, it says two things. Yayimadin and Yayimatecha. What's the difference between Yayimadin and Yayimatecha? What does that mean? The Chassam Sofer speaks about it. What is Eilei Liyayim Hadin? Eilei Liyayim Atechach. So I want to say pshats like this. Listen good. Listen good, Rabbi Yisai. My Zayda once told me, Yisai, people could do things and they seem like they're kosher. But when you dwell into their actions, you realize that it's a lie. They're actually contradicting. They say this, And it looks like they're okay with this. No, but actually, it's not true. It's called a steer. It's called a contradiction. Rabbi Naftali Trop said over about the Chavetz Chaim, no steers. There were no contradictions in the Chavetz Chaim. He was, in Yiddish, they call it Oisgehalten, which means what he was right that way all the time. Who he was all the time. It wasn't one time he looked, you see this side of him, you see that side of him. It was who he was all the time. It's called Oisgehalten, which means completely miyushav, belistirot, without any contradictions. And they said it over by the Levaya, the Chavetz Chaim. Fine, okay. They said there's a Gemara. The Gemara says that when we come loss of Lavoi, we'll ask a question. Three questions. Asatav and Asatav Emuna. Did you do kosher business? Kavati to Matoira. Will you kavei to Matoira? And the third question is going to be, it's a piece of Yeshua, did you believe and hope for Mashiach? Why are we asking, says the Zayda, first Asatav and Asatav Emuna? We should ask first, Kavati, what's more important about Torah? No, did you learn? That should be the first. Did you daven? Did you learn? Then we can ask, what were you like in business? Why do we ask first about what? Your records in business. Take out the records. Why? Zok de Zayda, you ask him Kavati to Torah, you know what he's going to answer you? He didn't have the head for it. He didn't have the patience for it. He wasn't capable. He wasn't this. Blah, 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 blah. 1,000 excuses, right? So we take out the business records and we say, over there you were very capable, huh? Over there you know all the tricks and you 24 hours a day, you didn't even sleep at night. You were able to go 24/7 business and more business, invite the business. Now let's see, Kavati to Matayra. I think that the worst part of a Teichacha is Yom HaDin and Yom HaTeichacha, the contradiction. Yom HaDin means we judge you. But then the guy comes with his excuses. So then we have Techacha. Techacha means Eichicha Chaleinecha, which means we prove you from A to B. If you say that this is A, like a prosecutor. How could it be that you say that this, but look at this? How could you say you didn't have that, but look at here? How could you say that you couldn't sit for 5 minutes to learn if when it came to business meetings you were able to sit for 40 hours? That's called what? Teichacha. Okay? Oile liyayim adin. I think that's the pshat. Yayim adin. And yama teichacha. What was Yehuda screaming about the whole time? Oh, benafshik shur, benafshay. Oh, Yaakov's going to die. Oh, terrible. And Binyamin, Nebuch, look what happened to Binyamin and Rachel's child and blah. And it's terrible. And you benafshik shur, benafshay. Right? Says Yosef to Yehuda, to the brothers, Ha'oid Avichai. You didn't care about him then. Ani Yosef Hashem Echad to Moisi Mitzrayim. You didn't care about me. You contradict yourself. You're a stira. You're a stira. You are a contradiction. On one hand, you come and say you care so much about your father. You care so much about Binyamin. Ani Yosef, Hashem Echartem, Achichem. I'm also your brother. You forgot about me. Ha'oyd Avichai. You forget what? All of a sudden, you don't care about if he's alive or dead. Well, what happened? That's called Oylei Liyayim Hadin. Oylei Liyayim Atechach. We once said over a story over here. I think it's from the Ben Ish Chai. You probably know better than me, but I think it's from the Ben Ish Chai. Shai says a story of a Dayan who you were able to buy him. he was up for sale. So there was a guy who was losing a court case by him. The Dayan was paskening against. So he goes over to the Dayan and he tells the Dayan, what can I do that you'll be able to, swing it my way? So he says, the morning of the judgment, you'll take an envelope. And you put money in the envelope. You wave the envelope in front of me to remind me that you're... And I'll let it go your way. Look, the morning of the judgment, everybody's waiting for this guy to be chayiv. Yeah, because it was so clear that he's chayiv. The guy takes the envelope, he waves it. The guy passes that he's potter. He passes by the dayan and he says goodbye to him and he slips him the envelope. Dayan, all excited, takes the envelope. He goes to his private chambers. He opens up the envelope and there's nothing inside. So what does he do? He starts to scream, Oylem HaSheker, such a bunch of ganavim liars. So you take the story and you laugh. I once spoke to my Rebbe of Palm about this story. And I explained to him, and he was masking to me. You know where the problem is? Not the lie. Because the truth is, let's say a person has stihot. Let's say a person has contradictions. So what's the big deal? So when he's right, he's right. He's wrong, he's wrong. Is it worse that he has stihot? Is it worse that he has contradictions? No. So how could it be a taina, a complaint, that he has contradictions? When he's right, he'll be right. When he'll be wrong anyway. What does that have to do with the contradiction? Who cares? And you know what the answer is? When a person has contradictions, even when he's wrong, he thinks he's right. That's the problem. The problem is that when a guy is wrong, he doesn't realize that he's wrong. Because he's a contradiction. Contradictions make it that a guy thinks he's good, he's right, he's fine. He thinks he's a good Jew. He thinks he's the right. He's doing what's right. Therefore, it lets him do what's wrong sometimes. Think, I'm not a bad guy. You see, I'm right. If the guy knew he was wrong the whole time, that's this word. He thinks he's a kosher dayan. Yeah? He's so angry. What are you? You're an Eil Mashiach. What are you talking about? L'hav delel of Hadolah, so to speak. This is what Yosef was telling Yehuda. He was telling Yehuda, I'm achichem. What happened to that? You're so busy with Binyamin. You're so busy with Yankiv. Yeah. This is ha'oyr avichai. What am I trying to bring out? A lot of different things. The first thing is, you have to understand, a yid is a meichel mevater. That's the first thing you have to know. Bris mila means, achman klal yisrael, that if somebody does something to you, let it go. You let it go. You look the other way. You're Michael. Liba matoy, like the Rambam says. Liba manachay is to be mevater and not take the comment. Another point, I want to show you the contradiction in human nature. Here, you're angry at the other guy, right? You speak Lashon Hara about the other guy because he did something wrong. Yeah, but speaking Lashon Hara is also wrong. Contradiction of humanity. It's such an unbelievable thing. You don't realize the way you contradict yourself. He did this and this. Yeah, but you're doing the same thing now. By talking about it and fighting with him, you're doing the same thing. How many machloikas does a guy make with a guy because that guy is making machloikas? Yeah, but you're also making machloikas. When you're a machsik be machloikas, you know what it is? You're doing the same thing that guy did. You're a steer, you're a contradiction. It becomes a stira, it becomes a contradiction. This Rabbeisai is the lesson of Mechiras Yosef. The lesson of Mechiras Yosef is, and I just want to end with one last thing, how's the tikkun? What was the tikkun of Asar Arugi Malchus? The way we're learning that the pshat in Leisikav Leisiter has to reach a level of a haftal riecha kamaicha, like the Mesul Shisharim. That means that when a guy does you wrong, not only you don't take the comma, but you go one step further and you do what? No, what do? You go over after a kamaicha, like the Mesul Shisharim says. What was that Sarah Ravim Alchus? It was the epitome of the after echa kamaicha. They all had to die. They took lots. Goyrelais, who should die first? They didn't want to see the other one die. And when one died, he picked up his head. He said, I wish I didn't have to see this. It was a tikkun of the leisikim v'leisitar because it reached the ultimate level of v'haft l'riecha kamoicha. That's where the tikkun of v'haft l'riecha kamoicha came. Because they showed, the Asura, the ten, showed such a v'haft l'riecha kamoicha through Torah. They were G'dayli Torah. They showed such mayridika hava, mayridika love for each other. And that was the tikkun for the Asura Rugi Amachos Takabi Zoicha. To Misakin Lechiras Yosef, and with this will be Zoicha, Klal Yisrael, Mashiach, Mimher, Yameinu.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.